everyone. Welcome to Sell and Tell Podcast. We were previously known as Real Estate and Friends Podcast, and just really quick, we've decided to kind of switch over to a new name. So we're still going to be talking about real estate, and we're still going to have weekly episodes. And today we actually have an agent, Laura Morin, joining us from RMDFW, and we're going to talk about first-time home buyers in DFW and everything you need to know, every obstacle that you can imagine hurtling over. And so I'll hand it over to Laura if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Hey, Jessica, thanks for having me. Yes, I've been an agent in the Dallas area for 10 years. Previous to this, I did a little bit of insurance. I worked on the adjusting side, so I learned a lot about homes, and this was kind of a different aspect of that. So I've been doing this for 10 years. I have three kiddos ranging from 10 to 24, and they keep me busy. So I love meeting new people and seeing what we can do to have their goals met.
Awesome, awesome. And then as I understand, we do have a listing of the week of yours, which looks absolutely beautiful, guys. I definitely would say bring your clients out to this one and check it out. This one's going to be out in Mustang Lakes in Salina, and the address is 3201 Casablanca Street. It's really great modern home. I'll kind of hand it back over to you, and because I know you're super familiar with your listing, so go right ahead.
Yes, this is a fabulous listing. It was built in 2022, so it's fairly new. It used to be a model home built by Coventry. It has 3,008 square feet, listed at 824. It has four bedrooms, three baths, a two-car garage. We're right across from a park. There's an office, a media room, a game room, outside living space, so everything you can think of. And if you're not familiar with Mustang Lakes, there's over 20 acres, over 18 miles of trails. They have resort pools, 12,000 square feet of a clubhouse, tennis courts, basketball courts, you name it, you got it. So it's a great master plan community, feeds into great schools. Definitely check it out or reach out if you have questions.
Yeah, I love Mustang Lakes. I was talking to Laura earlier about how I used to actually work for a builder out in Mustang Lakes, and it has developed so fast, and it's a gorgeous place, great schools. So highly recommend, guys, this weekend, let's get some clients out there. Let's dive in, because I know we're anticipating first-time home buyers and the crazy market right now, like affordability is crazy. So I do want to dive into that. What are you seeing with first-time home buyers? Are they really afraid of the home prices? Are the inventory okay out there? What's it look like?
Well, I think the prices, they've gone up over the years, right? And we had that crazy period between 2020 and 2023 that really had us going crazy with multiple offers and people going over asking. So it really scared off a lot of buyers, especially first-time home buyers. Interest rates right now are hovering in the sevens. And so that's very scary to people, especially when a couple years back we were at 3-4%. That seems very high. If you actually look at the history of interest rates, it's better than average. So we're at a good rate. It just seems scary based on our recent past. I think first-time homebuyers are a little nervous about down payments, and it's just hard for them to get the process started.
Yeah. Are there any good mortgage deals out there? Are any of the mortgage companies with builders doing any specials that like would help with that?
Yeah, there's a few things. Some builders, if you go with a new build, offer to pay closing cost. Some of them, they can buy, you know, buy the rates down for a group of homes they have. And so the interest rates with new builds tend to be a little lower than if you're going with resale. The other thing we're seeing in the market right now is that homes are sitting a little bit longer. So sellers want to get their house sold, so they're going to strategize, and instead of dropping the price, they're offering sometimes an allowance to buy the rate down. And so the buyer's lender is able to do what's called a 2-1 buy down. So they buy down the mortgage or the interest for the first year and the second year, and then the third year it goes back to the standard rate. But what that does is it gives a buyer a few years to see if the interest rates come down, and if so, they can refinance. But it will decrease their payment for the first couple of years and gives them a little bit of flexibility there.
Well, that would be really nice, yeah. If they can buy down your rate, that makes it a lot more feasible out there. What would be probably the best areas in DFW for first-time home buyers if they are price conscious and really trying to get the most for their buck?
Well, if you're trying to be price conscious, you're probably going to want to go to the outskirts, unless you have your mindset that you're going to find a home that needs a little bit of fixing. And a lot of times first-time home buyers aren't necessarily familiar with the maintenance of a home and renovating it. So further out, Sherman, Salina, Anna, Melissa, Van Alstine are all good areas if you're headed north. If you're headed east, there's Forney, Rockwall, Roy City. There's new areas in Hutchins that are further south. So again, the outskirts of town are going to be the best bang for your buck.
Right. I wonder, do you recommend for a first-time home buyer, would you prefer, or I guess more so lean towards them buying a new build versus an existing home that they may have to upkeep and renovate and put a little bit more elbow grease in there? Whereas with a builder, you walk in, they do everything, you know?
I think there's pros and cons to both. It's really going to depend on the family. A lot of times first-time home buyers are younger families, and they like to be closer to town because they're still headed to go do things on the weekends or after work. So now their commute is further. There's not so much that's developed in the areas that they're purchasing in. So that's kind of a downside. But also, if they stay closer to town, just kind of letting them know what the expectations are with, remodeling or giving them price ideas of what it's going to cost to redo a bathroom or. And then you always focus on the most important stuff. You know, you cannot change the location, but you can change the interior of a home. So being able to walk into a property that doesn't necessarily look pretty, but visualizing what you can do with it is helpful. So it really just depends on the family and what they're looking to do. With a new build, they do, for those that are very unfamiliar with homes and maintenance, there's a warranty that's there. And there's everything is new, so... there's a little bit less stress on that side of it. That's helpful for new time home buyers.
Yeah. Who has the best warranty, you would say? Are they all about the same? Do they all kind of give about the same time lengths?
Most of them are about the same. It's usually the first year is just kind of all the functioning things that you see. And then 2 years is the mechanical, and then 10 year for foundation and structural.
Yeah, that's really nice. I know, especially the foundation one is great to have. So,
especially in North Texas.
Yeah, especially in North Texas. If only we could have 10 years on our roofs with the hailstorm.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
That's actually another big challenge is insurance right now. You know, our rates are going up so much. And so that really affects your mortgage payment. So that's another variable that is kind of scary for buyers, for homeowners.
Yeah, well, talking about insurance, I mean, what would be your recommendation for that? Do you have any kind of insight as what you should look for, where you should be shopping around?
So there's all kinds of insurance providers, and you can go to two different providers and get two completely different quotes. And of course, you're going to want to lean towards the less expensive quote. But the reality of it is that doesn't matter if there's no coverage when you need it. So what I tell my buyers is to really price shop apples to apples so that they can compare, what it is that coverage that they're getting. One of the things that first-time home buyers don't realize is that their mortgage payment, consists of four things: the principal, the interest, the insurance, and the taxes. So the principal and the interest will never change, but the taxes and the insurance will. You can price shop your insurance to an extent, right? And
Right.
you can fight your taxes. So shopping for good insurance is important when it comes to home buying.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm sure we all know the price differences that are coming. I just the other day we had two quotes come in the mail and they were about $500 different from each other. And I don't know how they run those numbers, but it's getting crazy out there. What are some first-time homebuyer assistant programs maybe that we need to know about, and something to educate an agent for their clients' education as well?
There's a few out there, and not all lenders do it. So it's important that if your buyer's looking for a first-time home buyer assistant program, that they talk to the lender to see what they have available. Sometimes they can sell the house with no penalty, and sometimes they have to pay back the gift that they got to be able to purchase it. In some cases, they do have to take a class. It's an easy class. You log in, you take it. What I really try to tell my first-time home buyers is that this all affects, your mortgage payment. A lot of people want to get into a house with zero down, and in some cases, it's the best thing for them. But when you do zero down, that means your principal's it's a little bigger, so your monthly mortgage is bigger. So just sitting with your lender, being transparent of what you have for down payment and closing costs. And then really understanding what your mortgage payment's going to be and being comfortable with it before you move forward is the key, because getting a mortgage is not black and white, it's a puzzle. And so talking to your lender will allow them to know what you have, know what you can do, and then play with the numbers to see what's the best program for you.
Yeah, I think it's always difficult to figure out what you're comfortable with. So definitely talking to mortgage representatives was so helpful in the process. And then having an agent guide you, I mean, that it's incredible to be able to have somebody have your back by your side, you know? And then with the down payments, what are you seeing as far as the builders versus resale? I mean, are they requiring a minimum down payment? I know we talked about people wanting to get into a home with zero down. If they do have a down payment, what is that looking like? Is it 3%, 5%?
It depends if it's FHA or conventional. Typical ones you see are 3%, 5%, sometimes it's 3.5%. Some people pay 10%. In some cases, some people will put more like 20% down, so they can eliminate what's PMI, which is the mortgage insurance. But you don't see that very often with first-time home buyers. So it really just depends on your credit, on your income, and then what's called your DTI, which is your debt to income ratio. Once your lender knows that, they know what programs you qualify for. They can give you, the numbers. Hey, if you put 3% down, this is what your monthly mortgage is going to look like. If you can swing the 5%, your monthly mortgage is going to look more like this. And then again, the buyer makes the best decision what works for their budget.
Yeah, I don't know if the builders do this anymore, but I know there was some builders do have a minimum, and I wonder how many people are able to get that minimum, or if it's a struggle or not. And whatever you're buying a home with these first-time home buyers, what is kind of a trend that you're seeing as far as the must-haves versus it's nice to have, but we need to keep in this price range, so I'm willing to compromise.
Yard. People want a big yard, and then they realize there's not a lot of communities that have that extra space, and so that's something they're willing to usually work with if it's not so big. I think schools are a big one. What schools is it feeding into? Even for families that don't have kids, sometimes schools that are in a better school zone will resell better. So when they're looking to make an investment, they think about that. And then accessibility to highways, because at the end of the day, we're getting more amenities, we're getting more things to do in DFW, which is great, but that also means a lot more traffic. So you have to incorporate that time and a way, that you're on the road.
Yeah. And what are kind of the hot school districts now? Because I know for a long time it's always been kind of Prosper ISD out on the west side. There's Aledo and Argyle that are really good. Is there kind of more up and coming ISDs that people are looking at?
I mean, we have a lot of great ones. We're really lucky. In Texas, DFW has a lot of good ones. Coppell's a really good one. Frisco ISD, McKinney has a good one. Plano, Allen, Prosper. And then I think as we start to expand further north, we're gonna start seeing some of those school districts also, I think, become a little better and stronger.
As far as like the centralized locations, is Frisco still kind of like the hot area, or are you seeing more people kind of leave that Frisco area and go that further north and not be fazed by how much further they're driving?
I see a little bit of both. I think since 2020 and all the people that started to work from home, that gave people a lot of flexibility to be able to get a newer home, get a bigger home, maybe have a little more space. So that has pushed some people further out. But people haven't stopped coming into the Frisco area, and where Frisco used to be, far north, now we're not quite so far compared to some of the neighborhoods that are reaching into Oklahoma.
Oh gosh, yeah. We're seeing it on the west side as well. I know that we're only over here. I'm about maybe 30 minutes from the border. Straight shot to Windstar, which is great for weekends. But I know that on the east side of town, y'all are really close to, is it Choctaw over there?
And 75
So.
is really expanding, and they're doing a big development going all the way through to Oklahoma. So we're starting to see just more communities. The land is starting to, be bought, and new builders starting to move in. So that's all gonna, I would say, give it a few years, and that's gonna look a lot different than it does now.
And speaking of expanding those highways, I know the DNT got approved for expansion a few years back. How is that looking? Are the wheels turning, or is it in standstill?
They are. It's interesting because I'll drive something. I'll drive north to into Salina, and I'll see something new, and I'm like, "Oh, this highway didn't go this far last time I came." And then I won't go for a few weeks or a month, and then I head back out there, and then I see like how it's gone a little further. So we're definitely over 380 now.
Oh, good.
And then there's some like movement even further north than that, but it's not all continuous. So the outer loop, if you're familiar with that, that's gotten really kind of busy, and so just a lot of development that's just kind of creeping further and further north.
So, which new community are you most excited about, especially going into those outlying towns? And I know that the development out there is probably insane right now, but do you have a favorite that a lot of people are starting to gravitate to?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I feel like there's different things about different neighborhoods that I like. I recently sold in Howe and Gunter, and those are not necessarily neighborhoods quite yet. They're more like land and people building on it, but there's a beauty when you drive through there where it's just a lot of trees and kind of smaller roads. And it just feels like you're really far away from town, which you kind of are. But there's a beauty to that. So, like I said, Mustang Lakes is a great one. Liliana is a great one if you're looking north. I mean, there's still some great communities in Frisco and McKinney and Plano. So, I don't know if I have a favorite.
No favorites yet, but I'm sure as they start to develop north, people are going to start looking for new amenities. I know one of the big ones was pickleball courts now.
Oh, yeah.
So That's even in the community that we live in, they just put in, I think, like 8 pickleball courts. And you just scan your HOA card and the lights come on and it's a whole thing.
It's great. It's great. We have some of our tennis courts have marked for pickleball, and then they've created some new ones here in the Frisco area. And then they put a new Kroger in on 121, and I think it's Independence or Coit. And the old Kroger that was right next to it is going to become a pickleball.
Oh, wow.
Courts. So that's fantastic. So I see
Like
it
an
more and
indoor
more.
pickleball court?
Yep. Which is nice for old
Wow.
buildings that they're reusing them, and they're not just an old building that's sitting there that's,
That's
an
true.
eyesore.
That's true. We tried going to Chicken and Pickle, which is, I don't know if they have other locations, but it's in Grapevine. And it's amazing how many weeks out people are booking these courts to be able to play in different time frames and stuff. So I was amazed by it. They had great food too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't checked it out, but it's on my to-do.
I definitely highly recommend it. So I guess whenever you're going out with your clients and let's say they decide on a house, they want to put in an offer, what are some tips that you can give our listeners as far as like negotiation in today's market?
Well, first of all, hire a good realtor because there's so many realtors that don't have the strategies that you need. But once you find a good one, really listen to them. Your realtor is going to do all the research, should do all the research. Like, what's the history of the house? What are the upgrades? Are there any warranties that are transferring over, like, because they did foundation work or whatever the case may be? And then we look at some of the most important stuff. How many days has a house been on the market? Has it been on the market 2 days? Are there 5 offers on the table? Has it been on the market 60 days with no offers on the table? Because that's really going to help gear you to like the right strategy for getting the offer accepted at the lowest price. Because as a buyer's representative, your goal is to find the best house for the best price, right? So taking all that into account is going to be important. So again, you need to be able to trust your realtor, know that they know what they're doing, and then just kind of let them guide you along the way.
When you're selling a house, are you seeing a lot of homes spending long stretches of time on the market?
Yes, I think 2024 was a little bit of a tougher year, so houses were sitting longer. It was also an election year. Election years just make people nervous. So it doesn't matter who gets elected. If the other party gets elected, it feels like the end of the world. So people get so nervous and they hold on to their money. And then once things start moving, then they realize I still need to upsize and downsize and all the things. So in a typical year, your busy season's gonna fall between February and May-ish, June-ish. Once June hits, people are doing vacations. They're spending time with family. It's kind of hot to move, and then they're just want to settle in before school starts. So we're right at the cusp of the beginning of the crazy season, and we're hoping for a great year. Everything is indicating it'll be a good year. Just it's been sitting, but things are starting to move. There are some houses that are getting multiple offers right now. Not a lot.
Oh, wow.
There's some houses that are sitting. Which gives a buyer a great opportunity to negotiate the price down. So we're seeing a little bit of both. It just depends on how well the house is taken care of. Is it a unicorn? Does it have every feature that every buyer wants? Or does it need some work? Does the buyer look at it and say, well, it needs some work. This is a great house, but there's 20 other options that don't need that work, so I'm going to go elsewhere.
So if you're the listing agent on one that's sat on the market for 45 days plus, what are kind of your strategies, your go-to strategies for trying to get that home sold? Aside from marking down the price, maybe, is there
Yeah,
any kind of marketing that you lean towards?
definitely pricing the house right is going to be the main thing. But then letting a buyer look at that house and being able to have them visualize themselves in that house. So one of the things I always tell my sellers is we got to create a space that makes them feel comfortable here. Removing all the personalized decor, removing anything that is religious or political, because you want someone to go and focus on the house and the features that the house has, and not what the seller what books they like to read, or you know, I know them from church because I can see their photo there, you know.
Right.
So you really want them to stage the house like a model home, so that it feels that any buyer can walk in and picture themselves living there.
Yeah, I know when we toured the house that we now live in, there was a cat that was the snuggliest little cat, and it kept in my brain whenever we were looking at other houses. I was like, I want to go back to the cat. So do
Yeah.
you stage your listings ever?
Yes, it depends on the listing. It depends on my sellers and their style, and also their personality. Everyone's personality is slightly different, but some houses definitely have to be staged because they're too personal, or they're too cluttered. And having a stager there will really kind of help get rid of all the extras that you don't need.
Oh, I have actually a really good question about that, staging the home too, is if you know, most people with like kids' rooms and stuff, they like to paint their walls. Do you ever recommend that before listing, or if they're having trouble listing, that they go through and paint them back like a neutral color with the rest of the house, or does it not usually affect it?
Neutralizing the home is going to be your best strategy because anyone can, you know, you have a pink room and a family with a little boy isn't necessarily going to visualize a neutral room, right? So neutralizing it is probably going to be the best approach. It's also important as a buyer's agent to be able to help the buyer see past the green room or the pink room, right? Hey, this room is a great size. Look at these features. Look at the space. Look at the closet size. Look at the high ceilings. So having a buyer be able to visualize past the pink room is important. So there's so many agents that can do that for their clients, and some that can't. So for that purpose, yes, neutralizing the room ahead of time is going to be the best choice.
Yeah, I only asked because we had like a bright blue room, and I was like, this is crazy blue
Well,
whenever we
a
looked at
buyer
the
sees
home.
it's at work. It's work, it's work. I'm going to have to get someone to come paint it. I'm going to have to spend the weekend painting it. So if you are the one of 20 choices and yours is the one that has work, where you know the 19 others don't have work that needs to be done, they're going to lean towards one of the other ones. So in this market where there is a lot of houses that you get to choose from, you have to stand out amongst all of your competition.
Do you ever, with first-time home buyers, do you ever have like a sit down where you set expectations for maintenance of a home? Would you walk them through that, or is that something that they just kind of figure out?
No, not with it's I sit down with all my buyers of what to expect with the home buying process. I sit down with all my sellers for a sit down on what to expect with the listing and the different steps and stages of the process. I'm an open book for all my clients, and if they ever need a referral, whether it's a roofer or a carpet cleaning company, then I'm always a phone call away. I really work on building relationships with my clients, and I keep in touch well after we've closed on a house. So people reach out to me even for doctors and gyms and anything else that they need. And so they know they can come and ask me questions, and some of them are geared towards real estate and some are not, but there's no official sit down. It's more of a relationship that I build with my clients.
That's really good. Yeah, I like being able to feel like I can reach out to my agent even after closing if something goes wrong and if I'm missing information. We found that very helpful with our agent whenever we bought a home for the first time together. Is that was extremely helpful. You know, our dishwasher goes out and we're scrambling to figure out what are we gonna do?
And
So it's nice to have.
that's the thing with first-time home buyers. They don't know what to expect. So being able to pick up the phone and call their realtor and say, like, hey, this situation happened, we either have an answer for you Or we have like some kind of guide. This is what you need to do. This is who you need to reach out to. And because we negotiate repairs all the time and deal with all kinds of contractors all the time, a lot of times we have a good, outline of what it would cost to fix your dishwasher or to have someone come out. So we either have a number for you or an idea for you that will help, push you in the right direction.
That's great. When you're dealing with first-time home buyers, what are some of the things that you set for understanding closing costs and inspections? Because I know builders do their own inspection, but you're able to bring in your own person to also do an inspection, and then obviously resale, you want to bring in an inspector as well.
Yeah, like I said, I have a sit down with my clients. I go over the entire process from pre-approval, what to expect, and some of the things to do and not do when you get a loan. I talk about closing costs, and some of the upfront costs, which include appraisal cost, inspector cost, and then setting up your escrow account, which if you're not putting 20% down, you need to do, and that's 1 full year's worth of insurance and 3 to 4 months worth of taxes. So we go over all that, and I guide them. I give them a list of great inspectors that I have in the area. Give them a list of great mortgage people that I have in the area. And a lot of times buyers want to use their own person, which is completely okay, but if you don't have a person, trust your realtor. The reason these contacts are on their list is because we've done work with them. We've seen the way they work. They take care of the clients. They do a good job. There's so many out there, and some of them are fantastic, and some of them are very scary. So trust your agent if they give you a good referral. But yeah, we sit down and kind of have a sit down on what to expect with inspections. What they're going to typically see, what sellers do normally, some of the options we have if sellers, don't want to pay for repairs. So we go over all of that ahead of time.
And then timeline expectations when, from contract to keys in hand, are people still doing, are able to do 30-day closings? And with the mortgage rates high, do they have, does it take some time to gather together those down payments? Or what are you kind of seeing? Because I know that back when we bought this house, we had to close quickly because we were leaving for Italy for 2 weeks, and I was like,
How fun.
we gotta sign this paperwork. But then we had to lease it back to the sellers in order for them to get their stuff out, basically.
Yeah.
They needed 2 weeks to get their two kids and pregnant wife all out of there.
yeah 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 typically it's 30 days. One of the things I tell my buyers is to get fully approved for a house, there's two big sides, right? One portion is the buyer, their financial information, their credit, their income, and the lender verifying all of that. And the other side is the house. Well, you can't do the house ahead of time because you don't know the address. They have to make sure the title is clear. They have to make sure that they have a survey and that the house appraises. So we can't do any of that until the house is found and we're under contract. But the financial side, that can all be done ahead of time. So it's very common for someone to go up to a lender and say, "Hey, this is what I make, this is what I do." The lender looks at it, say, "Yep, great. According to what you told me, you qualify for X amount." And it's not until normally they go under contract that the lender starts to dig in and verify everything. Well, all of that can be done ahead of time if you have the right lender. They can send you through underwriting and get you really fully underwritten for that side of it. And that will allow you to be able to close in 14 days or 21
Oh,
days.
wow.
And that makes it easier. That tells the seller that you are a strong buyer, that they've already done everything. Most people don't do that. I always encourage my buyers to do that because it gives you a little more flexibility with time. And you brought up a great point about a lease back. if you're in a market where there is multiple offers, really finding out what the seller needs is important, because in some cases they do need that extra time to get out of the house. In some cases they need to, sell it quickly because they need to buy a house and they already found one they liked. So really understanding what the seller needs and having your agent reach out to the listing agent to find out what they need will help you strategize an offer that's gonna benefit everyone a little better.
On these homes that get multiple offers, are you still seeing people kind of write letters to the sellers still? Because I know that was a thing during COVID. Like, people wanted to make it more personal, so they would hand off a letter about their family and why they wanted the house. And I don't know if you're still seeing that.
No, it's not very common right now. I mean, if we get into a multiple offer situation, they may or may not come back. There's a beauty in that and also controversy in that. I think that when a seller finds a connection with a buyer, they're gonna, kind of lean towards them. They wanna find a connection with someone and see them take care of their home, right? But there's also this the other side of it where people say, well, there's could be discrimination because they know me and they know what I do or they know where I come from and they didn't like that, so they decided not to choose me. So some people use them, some don't. It's kind of like it just kind of depends.
Yeah, it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
So what are kind as we kind of wrap up, what are some common mistakes with first-time home buyers and how do agents try to avoid that? Is there a lot of things that kind of fall by the wayside?
The first one is the pre-approval. People are very scared to go and talk to a lender. But understanding that that's gonna secure them in knowing what they can afford, so they're not wasting their time looking at homes they can't afford or they're not comfortable with. And ultimately, that's gonna save them money because they're not gonna put earnest money on the table that they're gonna end up losing, right? And for those that don't get the pre-approval, that's completely 100% okay, because now you know you're not approved, now you know why, and now you have, an outline of things you need to do or goals that you need to meet so that you can get pre-approved. Hey, I don't have enough down payment. Okay, now I need so many months to get that down payment, or my credit score is not where it needs to be. I need to do X, Y, and C so that I can get my credit up. One of the other things I see as well is buyers get so excited that they want to go buy furniture or a new fridge and they haven't closed on the house yet. And what they don't realize or they don't remember is that the DTI, which is your debt to income ratio, really affects your mortgage. So if they are within their DTI, but they made it by the hair of their chinny chin chin, and then they go buy a fridge and the lender runs their credit right before closing, now they have a fridge, but their DTI is too high and they no longer can afford the house. So I always get it. It's always a holiday and they're always going to go and buy new furniture or new washer and dryer, refrigerator. And I always tell them, you really need to wait till after you close on your house.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of working with builders in the past. I've heard a lot of situations. I've had people buy cars
Oh, yeah.
right before closing.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Definitely do not recommend doing that.
Nope, don't open any lines of credit.
No, not at all. Okay, so do you have anything else for first-time home buyers? Any tips or any takeaways that you want to share with our agents?
Transparency with your lender is going to be crucial. Like, a lot of first-time home buyers get a lot of their down payments from, a parent that's willing to help them, and that's very common. But your lender needs to know that. There's things that your lender needs to have in line. Where's the money come from? Has it been in the bank for a certain period of time? Is the money seasoned? Otherwise, they're going to have to source it. So now they have to see, your parents' accounts. So knowing all of that ahead of time will eliminate a million headaches. Really sitting with your realtor and understanding the process, and then having someone that's organized and is going to guide you, because it's a lot. It's the biggest investment of your life, and you need to be able to trust the person that's helping you along the way.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Laura. And I just want to go over the listing of the week again is 3201 Casablanca Street. That's in Salina, and it's going to be in beautiful Mustang Lakes. Our podcast today is brought to you by Elysian Marketing. So you can reach out to Elysian Marketing for all of your marketing needs. They're a third-party agency that works specifically with real estate agents and home builders. So, guys, your wins are our wins. Share your listings for next week. And also, next week is going to be a podcast specifically on mortgages. So, we're going to learn all the ins and outs of how do we get our buyers into houses and be able to have a good rate. So, we're looking forward to that. Again, thank you so much, Laura. Everyone, y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks for having
Bye.
me. Have a great weekend.